Danny J.
And I'm Jill Coleman.
Welcome to the Best Life Podcast.
Here we talk about everything from success, money, relationships and entrepreneurship, to productivity, honest communication, positive psychology, and how to cultivate an abundance mindset.
Make money, travel the world, deepen your relationships, live full out.
This is the Best Life. What is going on, besties? This is Jill.
This is Danny J. I am wearing like this cute top, but then I have these piggy leggings on. Yeah. And I just realized, like, I like to, when I sit, when we podcast, I like to cross my legs or like hold my knees. And then while we were interviewing our last guest, I started to pull my knees up, and then I saw my pants in the video and I'm like, I need to put my legs down, but I'm really uncomfortable.
Yeah, you do look really nice. Your hair looks good. You have that like professional shirt on. What do they say? Professional on top, party in the bottom.
Yeah, it's definitely that right now. It's party on the bottom. I washed my hair today because I was going to do some content. I had to post some Mind Bloom content. I shared a little bit about doing the ketamine thing. So, but I haven't done it yet. So I just did my hair right before the podcast. So I'll have to record content after. Yeah. Got to get content when the hair is good.
So I want to ask you this, and I've been feeling kind of the same way. I texted someone like last week, and I was like, or I texted Jade, my ex-husband, and he's been talking a lot about like his business is called Next Level Human. He had the book come out, and we don't really talk that often, but I just texted him and I'm like, what are the signs of a midlife crisis? I think I might be having one. And I mean, he kind of just wrote some things like, you're unsure about your career path, like, maybe things that you used to, whatever. And I was like, I want to talk about this because I do think that especially for women in our 40s, it can feel, and I know you've said this too before, it can feel lonely at times. Even in a relationship, it can feel lonely because I do feel like the level of, I don't want to say responsibility, but I think for me, that's maybe where it's coming from for me, is like I'm feeling a level of responsibility that maybe I've never felt before. In terms of work and like team, and like it's great. I don't want to like change anything about it, but it's like, and then also like my parents getting older and kind of feeling like responsible a little bit, and financially responsible a little bit. And then, and also, especially with clients now, all of a sudden we have more clients we've ever had. And so there's like a level of responsibility there. And it kind of feels like there's very little room for error. And it's making me feel not lonely, but maybe isolated is the word. And I know that intellectually, when you're starting to feel isolated, you're starting to feel alone, or you're starting to feel like no one, supports you or whatever, you're supposed to reach out for support. But like, this is not the thought pattern that I think is useful, but I've been like, but everyone else has their own shit. And also even just having conversation about it is draining to me, So I'm like, I don't want to reach out because I'm like, I don't even want to fucking talk about it. Like you know what I mean? And so I'm feeling in this like weird, I don't know, this weird sort of like holding pattern where I am feeling a little bit, and I know this is not true, but what I keep saying is no one can hold it down for me. And I keep saying like no one understands or can hold it down, and I have to be up here. And I think as a coach also, we kind of get into this trap. It is definitely a trap of I'm supposed to have all the answers. People look to me for answers. So I should be able to just figure it out on my own, or, I'm supposed to be able to just hold it down for everybody. And so I don't want to burn someone else with my shit. And also, do I even think they can help me, Cause then I feel like, am I in a mentorship role with them? I'm just trying to think of even some of my like close family members who are younger than me, like some of my closest friends, like my brothers, because you are in kind of a mentorship role, sometimes you feel like, well, how do you want to talk to them? Because I'm mentoring them, or I don't want to talk to these people because I'm coaching them, or I'm already at a different level than them. And so I've been feeling, I don't say lonely, but definitely feeling a little bit more isolated and not knowing. And I think I shared with you why I was going to therapy, is like to be able to talk about some of that stuff. And I know you had mentioned to me a couple of months ago that you were kind of feeling that way too. And so I don't know if it's just a midlife crisis thing. I don't know if it's a fucking hormonal thing. I don't know if it's a a 40s, you know, thing or whatever it is, but I'm definitely feeling a little bit more, what's the word, just overwhelmed. And I don't want to say burdened, but in a way, because it's like, I don't want to change anything. I love my clients. I love people in my life. I love my friends and family, whatever. I'm just, but I am feeling a little bit on an island lately.
Yes. I remember even when you were sharing that you felt that way. And I was like, oh, why doesn't she reach out? And then lately I've been feeling very similar. And it is that just thinking about talking about it to someone else feels exhausting. And sometimes it's that you're not even super clear on what's going on. You have a certain feeling about something and maybe, you know, it'll work itself out, but it's also just feels like just too much to talk about. And it feels maybe somehow if you talk about it, it makes it worse. Or
it feels like burdensome to other people. And it also just feels like I'm fucking sick of myself. Like even when I stopped going to therapy recently, like the last few weeks, I said, you know what? I'm actually getting to the point where I'm getting like annoyed with myself. So I go, I don't know if other people get here. So like, can we just have like a whenever I need you sort of situation? And she was like, yeah, totally. She's like, a lot of people get to that place where they're just like, you know what? I'm done sort of like processing and cycling through like all this stuff. And I'm just going to like, I just got to go into the fucking wilderness and like have at it, you know, and then I'll call you up if I need like a check-in or something. And so it's just like, I've sort of almost gotten to that point too. So then like, if I'm even sick of it, then there's a catch-22 here. Yeah, then all of a sudden I'm going to tell someone else and now I'm a burden to them. Because they have their own shit going on. And also, is this all just made up in my head anyway? Because objectively, you're like, you have plenty of people around you and you have plenty of people support you and you have plenty of people that if you reached out would be there for you. Yeah. So it doesn't make sense. I'm like, is it depression? Is it hormones?
You know, I was on a mastermind call with another friend's mastermind a couple weeks ago. And a woman just moved out of the country to another country, obviously. And she was also sharing how she was feeling really lonely. And she was like, it's not just the move, because she said, you know, I have friends all over and I could do online, but it was just, I think it was all the new stuff that she felt like nobody can understand being in this country. It's not about that I don't know people. It's just that they don't understand this scenario that I'm in life. And so probably for you too, like the business part, that's like, it's not that I'm lonely and I don't have the people, but it's this situation I'm in that's hard to explain, and it feels like it's annoying to explain, and you just maybe overthink it. I don't know. This is kind of what I'm thinking.
Well, and also, if I bring it up to someone in my life, I don't want them thinking that they're doing something wrong. You know, that's the thing. Even like one of my closest friends is my oldest brother, Danny, and now that he works for me, I don't want to, if I share with him, like, hey, I'm feeling like unsupported, or I'm feeling like no one can hold it down for me, which is probably a conversation I would have had with him before he was my employee. But now I'm so worried that he's going to make it mean that like, that he's doing something wrong at his job, or I don't appreciate him, which of course I do. And so we have a little bit of a different sort of, we've had to have a little bit of a different sort of back and forth. And I know, and that's been a little bit hard too, you know, is just, and I agree with you. I think whenever you're like at a different stage in life or a different level of, you know, responsibility, you kind of go, and it's not true. You go like, you know, can anyone even understand? And it's like, yes, we've talked about this a million times on the podcast that there are no new stories and there's nothing special about your situation. You make it mean like, well, could anyone even relate, or no one's been at this level before in my life, you know, whatever. You just make it mean whatever. And it's just a fucking trap. It's not true.
Yeah. Interesting that you cut back on therapy, and I've done that so many times. Like my therapy in life has always been off and on, off and on. Like, okay, I'm doing good right now. And then, you know, crisis comes. I'm like, I need you. Please answer the phone. I'm actually back to working with Kelly again. And it's been a couple of months, which has been nice. And I'm really feeling like I've been really needing the support lately too. And there's just been a lot I've been working through. But back in May, I'm like, hey, I'm good. And I was good for, you know, 6-8 months. And I feel like the one thing I do like about therapy or having a coach or having someone like that is this, if you have that ability to kind of go in and out, and also to know that they're there and they're someone who is, you don't feel judged or kind of has the backstory. And this is what's hard about when you just start therapy. You feel like you have to just catch everybody up on the whole damn thing. Where at least if you have a long-term relationship with someone, they kind of know the backstory, they know the main characters, they know what's going on. So you can jump right back in and go, okay, here's where I'm at. And this is what I need support around. So I don't know if it's that fixes the loneliness or not, but it, I feel like it helps to have that kind of that person, because I do think, to your point, is sometimes the friends or the people close to you, you do feel like a burden, or you don't feel like they quite understand, or maybe there's just pieces that, like, you know, to your point of Dan, is you feel like it could change the relationship somehow, or they'll feel a certain way if you share it. So you're not ready to share everything to like that person. It's just not the right person. And I think that's also what's been maybe a struggle for you and maybe for me. I don't want to speak for you, but some of the things I'm going through right now is within my relationship, but he's so burdened with his own shit that I can't really share that with him. And it's, and part of my own issue and feeling is because of what's going on with him. And it doesn't, it's not to make him feel bad, and he's doing everything he can to just hold it together. And so I'm feeling like I am the big support person, and I'm like, but where's my support? And that's something that I've been kind of working on with Kelly, is like, okay, if Danny's taking care of Jeff, who's taking care of Danny? Like, oh yeah, I got to make sure I'm taking care of me. And that's a big piece. And maybe that's just a share for other people. If you're feeling loneliness, maybe it just shows up as loneliness. Maybe it's resentment. Maybe it's just overwhelm. Mm-hmm. But is it because you're taking care of so many things, and who's taking care of you? And that's been the thing that I've really come to the most recently, is going, oh, a lot of this comes from, I'm feeling like I'm holding a lot together and I don't know who's holding it for me.
Yeah.
So right. I don't know, you know, it's
totally. And it's hard because even saying that out loud feels like, you know, and we have this podcast and it's a personal development podcast. So this share feels really vulnerable for me to even share on this podcast because, you know, like you're in a role, you're in a leadership role, which I've mentioned several times in this podcast, that I do love being a leader. 95% of the time I can hold it down for everybody. 95% of the time I am that person who loves the responsibility, who loves being that person who inspires other people and, you know, helps them on their journey. But that 5% of the time, and I think that percentage maybe will feel bigger when you go through a big, like, output stage, you know, and it's the same thing in my relationship right now. Keith has been dealing with a chronic injury for like a year and a half, and it's like taking up all of his brain space. And so the last thing I want to do is be like, okay, but also, you know, when I know he's like super stressed about all of that stuff, and he's like literally treating this injury like a full-time job, he's seeing all these practitioners and whatever. So you do, but I think it is a lie to assume that no one can hold it down for you, you know, where you go, well, I don't want to talk to them because I know what they would say, right? Maybe they would just belittle my feelings, or they'd say, well, you know, just find the bright spots, or, you know, just be have 3 gratitudes every day. Like, you know, you just kind of go and you're just like, fuck, I need more than that. I need someone to like really come in and like really hold it down and not just give me these sound bites. And so again, a lot of this comes in like assumptions about what you might get back. But I do think that the therapy helped quite a bit, because it is someone who can start directing the conversation and ask you some of the things and maybe remove some of the blind spots that you have, you know? So when Kelly says to you, okay, you're holding it down for your partner, but who's holding it down for you? And it doesn't mean that he's doing anything wrong. Yeah. It's just, you're not, on some level, you're not taking, and I'm at the point now where like, if I don't start really figuring this out, it is going to lead to resentment, and it's going to lead to like me literally just fucking selling everything and like moving to fucking somewhere where I can't be found and like going never to be found again.
Well, I think you also mentioned about your parents aging in this too. I think there's something, and maybe this is an age thing. Maybe this is why a lot of the midlife crisis starts to happen. And this happened for me. It was a feeling when my mom died, when she passed away and then my grandma passed away. And I'm like, I am the adult now. Like, I don't have any matriarchs above me. My mom is gone. My grandmother's gone. So like, I am the oldest. So I think there's some kind of peace in just like still going, oh, well, there's other levels. There's other people above me, right? You've got your aunts or whatever. So now like my little niece, she just turned 12 yesterday. And I was thinking like 12 doesn't seem that long ago. I remember a lot of memories from being 12 and remember the adults, and I could just count on them. And now I'm like, I'm the adult.
We're the adults here.
We're the adults now. And that is it's just a sense. It's a feeling, and it's the responsibility that it's not tangible, but it is a weight on you. And it's a weight on you emotionally that you maybe don't even consciously think of most of the time. 90% of the time, I'm not thinking about it, but it's there, it's in the back of your mind. And as your parents are aging, whether they are, if they're passed away, you definitely feel it because you're like, okay, there's nobody else.
Just me.
But if they're getting older too, you know that it's coming and you're going, there's going to be a time where I have to make the decisions, maybe for them, maybe for their medical. I'm going to be the one making decisions and it's going to fall a lot more on my shoulders. And I feel like a lot of like people in this age group, maybe they even have kids. So they're making decisions for their children, schooling, all of this shit. And then they've got the parents on top of it. I feel like just this age is a heavy time of responsibility. And that can feel like a lonely place because you just have so many things and not things that we can always see. We see the work, right? We see showing up on social media or whatever you're doing for your job, but you don't see the back of the mind rolling in the background of, you know, I might have to make some decisions about an estate or a planning a funeral or somebody's illness or their finances. And that's stuff that's rolling in the background and it does affect you.
Totally. I'm going to throw a wild card in there and ask you this question. Do you think that being married would change this feeling for you?
Yeah.
Like if you think about, like, let's just take like an example, right? Where I was like, okay, there's a lot of people our age who don't feel this way, right? Because, but they have a lot, they have a bunch of kids, they have parents who are getting older, they have a job that's demanding, right? They have all the same things we're talking about, but they also have, they're married and they go, oh, we're a team and we're going to get through this together. And like, we're in it together. And like, do you feel like that has any, do you feel like it's different because you are not married?
Oh, we're going to get, this feels like a private conversation I would have with you, not recorded, but we're going to go there. I've thought about this a lot lately. And especially because a lot of what has been coming up has been with my partner and supporting him and what he's going through. And then feeling like, and it's triggered a lot of fears that I am recognizing. I had a session with Kelly today, so a lot of this is very fresh. And I had a lot of recognition around some fears that it's triggering in me, in that, you know, he's working his ass off to build something. And I have been feeling a little bit neglected because he's just fully focused, so busy. I mean, there's just hours he's home and it's, you know, it's really hit and miss. So this has been triggering this like abandonment issue in me of like, well, does he still love me? Does he care about me? Does he think about me? And it's like, he's literally at capacity of, it's probably not like, he's probably not thinking about me. And it's not because he doesn't love me. And right. That's not it at all. It's because this is such a big thing. You know, he actually brought up, he's like, you know, if Jill was in a launch, if you were in a launch, if you had this going on, and I like, it kind of gave me some context of where he's at. I'm like, oh, okay. This has been like a 5 month launch and it's just, it's a really a lot and it's not slowing down. And so I've been thinking a lot about this of, well, what is this triggering in me? And if I was married, would I feel different? And part of me is like, okay, I'm having this, what's triggering is this fear of my ex. I thought things were good and then they weren't, right? So then I'm going, okay, I'm making up these stories and they're all stories and I'm working through this, but okay, maybe he's working really hard and just avoiding conversation with me because things are bad and I don't know. And I'm sitting here like, we're great, we're good. And then I find out later we're not, right? Like this fear of being betrayed and that happening. Or, you know, if we also have heard the stories and seen that where someone supports someone through all of the hard shit. And then as soon as they make it big, they leave. And so I'm like, is that going to be me? Am I going to be the idiot who just supported him through all of this growth? And then he's like, then he hits it big and he's like, done with me. Right. So all of this shit is coming up. Cause I'm like, well, am I doing wifey duties and I'm not wife. So do I need to stop doing that? So part of me wants to say, yes, it would make a difference. And then part of me is like, no, this is my work to figure out what I need in this relationship, what I need for myself to give myself. And would I still probably feel neglected even if I was married? Yeah, I probably would. Would I have these stories around him like leaving? Probably not those stories, because I'd be like, well, we're good. I know we're good. So there's like yes and no. And I have been working through a lot of that. quite honestly. And I think that the answer for me, and we kind of talked in this when we were interviewing one of our guests, is sitting in that middle of going, I don't have to make a decision right now. Because I have had these moments in the last couple of months of like, fuck it, I'm just, I'm out of here. Right. I'm going to move to,
move to where no one knows me, yeah. Shutting everything down.
Exactly. And then I'm going, would that really help? I'm like, no, I would be in another fight or flight situation because now I got to figure everything out. And all of that is not going to help. That's just me wanting some certainty and wanting to know. I need to make sure that I'm not projecting what happened in my past relationship to the same one. Finding out that my ex-husband remarried, or he's getting remarried, and he was in a 4-year relationship with someone and left. I think that triggered some of these things for me too. And then, so one of the things Kelly said to me today, she goes, well, that was his pattern, right? That was my ex-husband's pattern to do this, but that's not the same person I'm with, right? He has different patterns, right. But that's not his pattern. And so I need to step back and not project that. But yeah, the marriage thing is interesting. I thought about it, and actually I wanted to bring this up on the podcast. So I was on this woman's podcast. I think it's called Love Stories or something. I can't remember, but I just posted it last week. This woman reached out to me. I don't know how she found me. And she does just, she interviews people about their love stories, successful women who found love after divorce. And she reached out to me and she goes, I want to talk to you first, like to do a pre-interview before we do an interview. So she gets me on and we start talking and she's like, you're married, right? And I said, no, we're not married. And she goes, oh, well, last time I interviewed this woman and then she wasn't married and then they ended up breaking up and I didn't want to post the episode. And I was like, well, people break up. It's fine, right? So I said, well, look, not married. She's like, well, is this legal life partner? I'm like, I don't know. For as much as I know, sure. I don't know. For right now, yes. So I went to In Studio in November in Phoenix and I interviewed live. But in the middle of the interview, she says, right before, she said something about us being engaged. And I was like, we had this whole long thing that she knew I wasn't engaged. She also had asked me if I drink alcohol or sparkling cider, because at the end, we're going to do a toast. So she brought alcohol, which I had already told her I don't drink. And then at the very end, and we're on camera, she goes, so you guys are engaged, right? Or she said something about my engagement. And I was like, so I'm like on camera. And I was just like, yeah. And then I was like, fuck, I hope she does not ask how he proposed, because that did not happen. So one of the girls, Lauren, shout out, she listened to it. She messaged me. She goes, oh, I didn't know you were engaged. I'm like, I'm not.
Setting the record straight.
Yeah, I was like, that was such an awkward moment. And I tried to just brush over it. And she said, she asked something about like, what's the next 5 years for you? What's the wedding? I go, well, and I was honest about the rest, because we've talked about marriage and he's got his own issues around marriage and religion and untying that. So I said, we're figuring that out and he's figuring out what he feels about marriage. And so I didn't straight up lie and say a date and make stuff up. I just like tried to redirect the conversation. I'm like, I really don't want to talk about this because it was very weird. But anyway, I wanted to say that because
just, we need to have that out there.
Yeah,
just
I do.
Set the record straight.
If you're watching it, there was no engagement. But Lauren was going, well, sometimes people just there's no engagement. There's no proposal. Sometimes it's just a conversation and two people decide to get married. Right. That's basically, I think, what I probably made it sound like. And then I couldn't even say anything to her after because I was late to another podcast. So we did the cheers with the fake, and I don't even remember if I just put my mouth to it and then just put it away and I ran out. I was like, I gotta go. And then I forgot. And then she just published it last week. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about that interview. I feel like an idiot. Anyway,
well, that's not your fault. Yeah.
It's not your fault. But the question back to you, what do you think?
Would
it make a difference?
It's weird because I don't actively want to get married, but I do think that I would feel differently because I would feel safer for sure. Almost just like it's a season. I mean, I'd kind of feel like, all right, this is a season and a very long period of time that I know for sure we're going to be together. Now, I don't think there's who knows, but I feel like that is more my mentality, would be more my mentality of okay, this is a rough patch.
Yep.
You know, and you know how people talk about the relationship. Sometimes someone in the relationship needs more attention and more of the relationship sort of emotional bandwidth. And then other times it's someone else. And so I feel like when you're with someone for a longer period of time, or at least there's a certainty of that, or at least, I mean, obviously, quote unquote, guarantee, no guarantees, but you just feel like there's a level of certainty, like, oh, a couple bad months or even a bad year or two is not going to make or break our relationship because you know, it's like, we intellectually know that marriage is about ups and downs based on what's going on in people's lives and stuff like that. So I think there's maybe a little bit of that too, but I'm going to be honest. I feel, the same way, the opposite, like with Keith's shoulder, like that's a huge thing he's navigating. And I've certainly been supportive, but I think he holds back sharing with me too, because he is also like, I don't want to burden Jill with this. And he said that, you know, he said stuff like, you know, it's a huge piece of what I'm feeling. And it's a lot of, he didn't say this, but I know for him, it's a lot of his identity. He loves sports, loves working out, like loves being active. So not being able to work out and lift how he wants to lift and look how he wants to look because of not being able to train hard has been really hard on him. And so I think if we were married, I would definitely probably preemptively be a lot more supportive. That sounds bad to say, but like, because I think it almost like lets me off the hook a little bit. Cause I'm just like, all right, well, you have your shit. I have my shit. We're not married. So like, you know, it's not that we don't support each other, but I think we probably would feel more, I don't say obligated, cause that sounds like it's a chore. We'd feel more willing to, because we're like actively working towards something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know that I really have an answer to this question. It was just more like sharing that I wanted to know if anyone else was sort of feeling this way.
Yeah.
And ultimately there's nothing wrong. I think that's the hardest thing is like, it's okay to say, I feel isolated, or I'm going through a season where I'm feeling lonely, or I'm feeling like I have a lot on my plate, or I'm feeling like I have a lot of responsibility. And it's not that you want, I love that you said that. It's not that you really want to move away and you don't want to break up and you don't want to do those things. Like ultimately that would just give you more of a sense of security. If you're starting to feel overwhelmed, you go, well, I'm just shutting it all down and fucking moving away. And I remember one of my earliest mentors, I've shared this on the podcast before, one of my earliest sort of mindset mentors, I remember when I was going through stuff with my ex and I was like, I just want to move to a log cabin and like not have talked to anybody. And he was like, well, Jill, that's really convenient. Then you wouldn't have to look at any of this stuff or work on yourself. And I was like, fuck you. Like, I just was like, you're so right. Because this stuff and this conversation we're having today is really real. And I know Danny and I weren't really planning on having this, like, you know, kind of vulnerable conversation. So that's why I don't think there's like a positive turnaround. I think it's more just to, I feel even just lighter, just expressing it to you, even though like we have thousands of people listening to it. I do feel like this is probably a normal part of growing and a normal part of getting older and having the awareness to go, like, even just having the awareness makes you not want to run. You know, you're like, okay, well, at least I can like come to terms with this, and it doesn't, I don't feel so alone. And this is maybe part, a normal part of getting older and taking on more responsibility. Cause I certainly don't want to go back to my 20s when I had no responsibility. You know, I certainly don't want that. And I certainly don't want to be single to, so that I don't have to, you know, talk to Keith about his shoulder. No, like it enriches my life. All of it enriches my life, like scaling the business and bringing on team and whatever. Yeah. And so it's not that I wouldn't want to do it anymore. It just is like, it's becoming equipped for a new normal and going, wow, like this is a new normal and I don't have the tools quite yet. I'm putting the tools in my tool belt now, but I didn't know that I needed these tools until I got to this sort of specific level.
Yeah. Something that I had a big revelation, I guess, I don't know the word, but something I recognized just the other day, we kind of were going, I don't want to say going at it, but we've had a lot of heavy conversations lately, and it's just been a lot. And I recognized in myself, because I was sitting here thinking like, he's being selfish, I need some support. And then it was like the opposite of, he's feeling like he needs so much support. And it was almost like we were competing for who needed to have the most, you know, like recognize what was going on. And so I realized too, and that kind of came to the point of, you know, I'm supporting him, who's supporting me, is that sometimes in our relationships, you know, maybe this is with you and Keith too, is like, he's got his own thing, he really needs support, and you have your stuff and you need support. And usually if you like, maybe would lean on him for that support, you know, you can't right now because he's got his own shit. And that's kind of how I'm feeling. And it's like going, this isn't a competition. Mm. And it was like how that grief is competitive. It's also maybe sometimes the overwhelm is competitive. And I was like, oh, we're almost trying to, I don't know if we were real actively doing, like recognizing that we were doing this. I think I was more than him. I feel like I needed some recognition for all of the things that I was doing to be supportive and to like put up with shit. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's not really his job to do right now. He's busy and he's got his own shit going on. So, and you know, my contributions are still valid. But I maybe need to look elsewhere for that kind of, you know, affirmation. And also it's not a fucking competition. It's teamwork. And back to, if we were married, I would maybe feel like we were more of a team. So then I have to decide, how do I want to look at this relationship? And do I want to look at it as like, this is a partnership, this is a season, or is it too much? I can't handle it and I got to bounce. And that's for me to decide. And maybe it's, you know, there will be some point, something has to change for both of us. You know, nobody can go into this kind of season for a long, long time. But there's just been a lot of this recognition of how I'm showing up and how my triggers are showing up and like kind of these stories I've painted. And I think we all have to be careful about that too. And sometimes the self-awareness of it is not helpful because you're like, damn it. But then if you can see where it's coming from, you can, you know, fix it, apologize, repair, or, you know, or do something different. And I think that's, for me, I had a lot more self-awareness the last couple of days in some of these conversations and recognizing what I was doing and the ways that I thought I was being selfless. I was actually being more selfish.
Mm.
And that was a big, like, I don't know. It was like a slap in the face up to myself. I was like, dang, I'm always thinking I'm better than that. And I'm like, no, I've been kind of shitty. So anyway.
It is hard. You know, it's, I went through a period early on in our relationship. We'd probably been dating for like a year and a half, and he was in, you remember this, he was in paramedic school, and I was feeling massive amounts of resentment because he was like, I was making dinner every night for him. He was going to school 5 days a week. And like, and what he was doing was a lot too, but I was like, I felt like I was the only one prioritizing the relationship. And I was like, I was making all the plans. I was buying all the food. Like I remember just feeling like, Jill, you're, are resentful right now. He's not asking you to do any of that. You are literally doing that because you want to be nurturing and you want to be that supportive partner, but he's not asking you to do those things. And I hated it, but I ended up pulling back on a lot of that stuff and no issue. Yeah. I felt better. I was not resentful anymore. And he didn't give a fuck. Like he wasn't like, where's my dinner? Like, or anything. He just made it himself or just figured it out or whatever, you know? And so I was like, oh, I was doing all these things preemptively, being like, I'm a supportive girlfriend. I'm the one showing up. I'm doing this thing. And I was like, that dude, I mean, not that he didn't appreciate it when I did it, but when I stopped doing it for my own sanity, not all of it, but some of it, I started pulling back on it and really prioritizing my own needs. The resentment went away and he didn't care either way.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was
totally thinking I was going to, you know, message you. Well, I thought you might be coming this weekend. I was like, I'll save this, but I was totally remembering that time when he was in school. And I feel like it's a very similar time right now. I'm like, yes, this is kind of like back when Keith was in paramedic school. And I'm feeling like, I was feeling like that. I'm like, yes.
And he didn't know I was feeling resentful. I finally brought it up to him and he was like, he was distraught. Like he was like, cause he was like, am I doing something that's making you feel that way? And I'm like, no, I'm doing it to myself.
Yeah.
Because he was just like, God, like, that's the worst. If your partner comes to you and it says like, hey, I'm doing all this stuff for you and I'm super resentful. It's like, you might feel like, oh my God, like, I'm so sorry. I didn't even know that that was how you were feeling. I didn't want to make you feel that way, of course. And so, I think there probably is something there, but it was hard pulling back because I wanted to be nurturing, right? I wanted to take care of him when he was in a really busy season, but then I just was like, I can't take care of you, do all the things, still do what I'm doing and then not feel resentful. I'm just like, I'm not that evolved. Or I'm not superwoman or whatever it was. And so I just had to get real with it. And I hated pulling back, but we're both happier because I pulled back.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Anyway. I think, you know, ultimately kind of to your point on that, on the pulling back and even for like, you know, taking care of myself, I think part of the maybe where the loneliness comes from is that it's like looking for validation or looking for
acknowledgement.
acknowledgement in the person who's not able to give it to you at the time. Right. And so, and maybe it's that could be a partner, that could be a parent, that could be your boss. You know, you could feel like you're working your ass off and there's a big project and you're not getting those kudos from your boss, any kind of thing like this. But I think it comes down to, and if there is an answer, and I don't know if this is the answer, but I know the one that I'm going to be working on is just focusing on myself, taking care of my needs, what makes me feel good, and doing things for my own satisfaction, not to get anything out of someone else, not to get affirmation or acknowledgement or praise or love or, you know, a pat on the back from someone else, but just to continue doing something. And if you're feeling this way, resentment, let's say it is in a work situation, it's like, maybe if your boss isn't appreciating or getting, you're not getting the acknowledgement, maybe you pull back too. You know, there, we have the option to pull back and not have to work ourselves to the bone and not get, no, have nobody pay attention. And I think it does come back to, we have the control over it, but it does feel lonely in the moment. And it does feel like, why am I doing all of this? What is all this for? And maybe that is, but like, you don't have to. You don't have to do any of that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't know that we have like necessarily a, you know, 1, 2, 3 step plan, but I also just really feel, even just this episode feels really cathartic for me. So thanks for letting me share. And for those of you listening, thanks for letting us share. And would just be really interested in if you're feeling this way too. I mean, I think we have a lot of listeners that are 35 plus, 40 plus, and are maybe feeling like they have to do all the things for all the people. And, and it's not because the people feel like you need to, it's because you're doing it because you are taking on those responsibilities. And 95% of the time you love it. The other 5%, you maybe just want to crawl into a hole or something. But we'd be interested in your take on that. Definitely hit us up. If you guys are not in our close Facebook group, you can go to thebestlifepodcast.com and then click on the link to join our free Facebook group and have a discussion in there. Or you can, of course, DM us at thebestlifepodcast on Instagram. And y'all, we have not got a lot of ideas from you guys lately. And we also have not asked for a lot of them lately. But if you have something that you want us to chat about, or you have something going on in your own life, even if it's just a really sort of granular situation or something's going on in your relationships, your work life, your friend life, anything like that, we would love to hear it. And if you would like for us to riff on it, we can definitely do that as well. So shoot us a message at The Best Life Podcast. Let us know if you want us to share your name or not. Keep it anonymous. And we would just love ideas. Anything you guys have going on, we would love to hear it. All right, y'all.
Love that.
That's all we got for you.
See you on the next episode.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.